On three.
It's time to eat my ass. Time to eat my ass. It's all about my ass. And how you eat it, it's all about my butt. And if you can't beat it, my ass on the throne, how can you unseat it? It's all about my rim, and if you can clean it, I am the mark, you don't wanna play me. The super mark, no way you can change me. Searing loud, 6 feet deep, with my ass popped out in a front row seat. Literally a shoulder, the better I run, be a good.
Is that it?
No, I think you got a phone call and it cut it off. Is that what happened?
I don't know. It just stopped playing and stopped eating my ass. Everybody, Tulo has new entrance music. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. Kicking it off very comedically, people would say.
Shout out to Rooster Illusion, our guy Dave. He goes by Rooster Illusion. Hit me up randomly and was like, yo, man, I have this idea about Triple H's entrance song and making a song about and doing the eat my ass thing, because we did it on the pod as like a thing, like yeah, it just came out.
Did we do that? Did we sing that on the pod? Time to eat my ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember anything that happens on this podcast, so
neither do I.
Oh man.
And he like, and then like, it's time to eat my ass. Time to eat my ass.
This guy's the man. I want more songs from Rooster Illusion.
It's all about my ass. And how you eat it, it's all about my butt. And if you can't beat it, my ass on the throne, how can you unseat it? It's all about my rim and it.
It's all about my rim and if you can clean it. And if it's all about my rim and if you can clean it.
Yeah. Dude, he couldn't wait. Like, so I never check Facebook anymore, and so sometimes I have messages in there from people and I'm like, oh shit, and I saw this and it was like he sent it to me like Sunday night and I saw it on Monday, and like I was just reading through and I'm like, oh man, I got this, is hilarious, I'm gonna tell this guy to do it. And then before I could get to the bottom, it was already done. He sent me the file and I was like, holy shit. I was like, bro, I was fucking dying, man. It's insane.
I'm really happy for you, Tulo. You finally got the entrance music that you've been fucking clamoring for.
That I deserve.
Everybody, this is the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. Mm-hmm. If you're new to the show, Tulo is the current champion of this podcast, the Comedians of Wrestling heavyweight champion. He won it off me. His finishing move is the eat my ass. And it's a submission maneuver, which requires, you know, puts your it's pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty a submission much, yeah. Move called eat my ass. Figure it out, okay?
Yeah.
And it's devastating maneuver. And
you've been putting it twice.
I've been putting it twice. I've been putting in a human centipede, eat my ass. it's devastating maneuver. Now it has the song to back it up. Will you be entering to that song at your next match, Tulo?
100%.
So that you officially say that is your entrance music, the time to eat my ass.
I mean, how can it not be anymore? I mean, yeah. It's insane. He even throws a supermark line in there too. It's in, like, wow. I mean, wow.
Everybody, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Support this podcast, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Well, we put out a bonus episode every single week for you. Coming at you, everybody. And we'll record something after Double or Nothing. Maybe the next day we'll have to figure out when, you know.
Yeah, maybe we'll maybe a pre Double or Nothing and then like a post, you know. But it's been tough the last couple of weeks, a lot going on, and we apologize for not delivering content to you.
We've been bogged down. It's been a 1-2 punch, as many would say. Tulo had a wedding. This wedding that you were at, was it an 8-day wedding? What happened there?
I'm still recovering. The wedding finished Sunday night, and I'm finally 95%. I think I'll be 100% back to my I don't think I'll ever truly be the same ever again, to be honest with you. It was wild. Thank God it was in Austin. I was close to home.
What made this wedding so crazy? Did you, super kick the groom, marry the bride drive through? I mean, what was the stipulations of this wedding? Did Rusev pop out of a cake? What happened at this wedding?
It was an Indian wedding, and as we know from celebrations such as when Jinder Mahal won the championship, he had an incredible championship celebration. Do you remember that? They had the drummer.
Oh yeah, that was a great
whole
time.
Thing. So we had that ceremony on. We had the Indian ceremony on Saturday, and then the culmination was the I would guess you say American ceremony. I don't know that.
Yeah, they pulled a double wedding gimmick. Gotta love that. Yeah, everybody, I tell people get culture because it means two weddings. No, it's amazing. If you want to have a traditional wedding in your culture, your faith, or whatever, a lot of times people have one Americanized wedding, right? So as well, so you basically have two weddings. A lot of people do this, and it's like back to back nights most of the time, right?
So yeah, I mean,
it's
so wild.
I can't.
Indian ceremony
imagine.
Was like during the day. It was casual. Like there was no drinks. It was just food and the beautiful ceremony with the barat and he came in on the horse. It was amazing. Everybody was dressed up in the Indian garb. It was beautiful. And then it's like everybody went back home, showered up because it was 98 degrees that day. I sweat so much, right? Everybody goes, but then everybody just gets together again at night the day before the wedding. And I took like an Uber home at like 2:45. I woke up, I was hungover. I was like, shit, it happened. Because everybody was just buzzing from the ceremony the day before. And a lot of people are in town because it's their only time in town. You know what? I'm rambling a little bit here, but yes. The number one people who are the craziest motherfuckers are the new parents that get to be away from their kids for the first time. Those people are fucking insane, man. Those people go crazy. All my friends were away from their kids for the weekend. So many people I met at the wedding didn't have their kids, and they like they've never partied before. Amazing.
I love that.
But we're back.
I love that for you. But there really is no time to talk about this wedding anymore. Because
I mean, you also had two. You had two shows, and
I had two shows. I had a show Friday night, and a show Saturday night. Both successful, sold out shows. Live in LA, coming back maybe, and then I also had a booster shot.
Oh my god,
that laid me out. So it's just been like, let's get hard to get to the mic, hard to watch the wrestling without falling asleep, but. The benefits of this episode coming out late is that we did see Dynamite tonight.
So everything. I'm all caught up. I feel I've never been. There's so much wrestling going on.
There's a lot going on. I mean, I think the thing we should start with, just because I don't want, because we, this is the thing that was breaking when we recorded the last episode. Now there's a lot more information on it, but I think we should talk about the Sasha and Malia thing. Hey folks, Sasha and Naomi. I always say Sasha and Malia because I think it's funny every time. Let's talk about the Obama daughters. So Naomi and Sasha, as we were recording the last podcast, it was reported that they walked out, right? And Tulo came out and was like, this is not a work at all. Mm-hmm. And Tulo laid on his sword on that about saying it's not a work. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be that Tulo is right. It was not a work, right?
Well, but then they mentioned it again on SmackDown this week. Like, Cole, took the time to say how they let them all down. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like,
I think that what I said on the last podcast is technically right, but I don't remember my exact words. but I did say it was a work shoot, is what I said. I believe that this was based in some kind of reality that they went with, and that seems to be what it is. But
isn't that a wild maneuver though? Like, isn't that such a weird way to do that? Like, I don't know, man. Whatever.
Well, it's weird because I don't think, if I might be wrong, but on that episode of Raw where they walked out, I don't think we knew that was the main event, right?
They started off the night by saying it was the main event, and I think going into it was that. Yeah, we did know going.
Yeah, but do you think that, like, The way wrestling fans watch Raw, if they just changed up the main event, would anyone even notice? I mean,
bro. I mean, I texted you. They had fans crying over RK-Bro losing. I don't even know. I don't even know what their fan base is anymore, dude. You know, like, it's all over the place. It's so crazy. It's wild.
Did you see? This is a random thing, but even when CM Punk came out and they were going, they showed the fans, and one guy was like CM Punk, and they showed another guy like CM Punk. They showed another guy go CM Punk, and they saw a guy with an MJF shirt on who said, fuck CM Punk. Did you see that? And they got away quick. No, I don't know. Look, we know the deal with Sasha. Sasha's a huge mark, right? She takes like all titles in WWE like extremely, extremely seriously. And we I don't know if you can knock her for it. I think it's really cool. I always applaud how serious Sasha takes herself. My only beef is like none of us care about any of those titles. So it's like she's all caught up in these titles that don't have a lot of weight. Like the women's tag titles don't have a lot of weight. We just have to be honest about it. They don't build a really great women's tag division for you to like sink your teeth in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In that aspect, 100%.
Right.
But I would say that Sasha was doing her best to put some weight back on those titles. And I think that's
this goes for the men also, by the way.
I would say that that's really the root of what happened here is that they were like, you don't give a shit about these titles or our storylines. Why would you put us in this match? None of this makes sense. So if you do this, we know what this is leading to. Then Naomi and I get beef and we end up losing the titles. They get thrown on another hodgepodge tag team and the cycle continues. They've done the same thing with every single tag team.
Yeah, I understand why she would be frustrated because it's like she's like, why not let us make this mean anything, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
And I understand why she's upset. I'm just also saying, like, I guess in that sense, yeah, I'm in. I'm in on that. That's good. That is cool that she takes it like that. You know, she takes it that 1,000. Seriously.
And I think that's what it is.
Because didn't she have that weird thing? What I was thinking of is that at Mania 35, they dropped the titles to the Iconics. It was Bayley and Sasha, remember? And then she was really annoyed by that.
And it was same exact kind of situation, same thing.
Because she's
and
like, honestly, I'll run that time, this I'm shit. Like,
honestly, at that time, I was like, but the way it was portrayed in the media, it got me thinking, like, I don't understand what she's so mad about, like, really. And then I was like, oh, shit. And she, like, went away for a while. And when she was away, she, like, trained her ass off. She came back.
Yeah, she went to Japan, right? That was the whole time.
Yeah. And honestly, she just cares about it. But, I mean, she's all over the place right now. She's going to be
spot off, Spawn.
Dan, like, I know we talk about this, but like I think she's got the potential to be probably one of the biggest stars coming out of
Sasha?
WWE. Yeah.
Well, she's already had match of the last Mania when she had a real match. She had a singles match. She had the breakout match, right?
Yeah. But Bianca
pretty much made Bianca's career, right? I mean, that's no knock on Bianca, but I'm saying someone has to give you the rub, and Sasha rubbed her very hard. And she let her whip her and put those marks on her.
Oh,
that was the first thing. And then, Becky did the same thing, but that all came from Sasha allowing, because look, you can like say yes to booking, but when, you know, some people in wrestling, you know, you're coming in, you know, you're doing the job, you know, you're going to be looking up at the lights and you're probably like, you know, we've seen times where it's like wrestlers fight against it or they don't give it their all because they know they're losing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in that way, Sasha's love for the business and the titles really was to her benefit. So I dig that. But you know, my thing with Sasha is like, it's really interesting because I feel like she focuses on all the wrong shit.
Here's also the perfect example too. Why can't she
cut one good promo?
They dropped those titles off on that table. Have we heard about them since? They haven't talked about them. There's no plan for what they're going to do for them.
Right.
They got a pay-per-view coming up. They're not going to build. I think honestly, they're just going to go away. They're just going to go away. They're going to be like, you know what? No one wants these. Fine. We'll get rid of them. Everybody told us they wanted them and now no one wants them. Yeah. So we'll get rid of them. That'll be WWE's excuse to get rid of them.
Yeah. Jumping around, but whatever. I mean,
let's go.
It sounds like Naomi's leaving, right?
I don't know.
Really? Her contract's up. I read her contract's up or something. So there's a chance Naomi's going. But anyway, I don't know. In any case, what were we talking about? I was thinking about this thought when I was watching wrestling, and then we'll start. Let's look at Double or Nothing a little bit. Give it AEW the focus they deserve this week, going into a huge pay per view. But it is interesting because a lot of my focus is WWE right now, and
This is look what we got coming up here. We got Double or Nothing coming up. We also then next weekend we have Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
and then like right into
the Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. So like, but these 2 weeks of wrestling is a lot. And honestly, both companies are doing a pretty compelling job leading up to both of these pay-per-views. So like, it's a spicy time, you know, like, yeah, Double Nothing. I think AEW gets the focus this week, but then we're going to have no problem talking about Hell in a Cell next week, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is not a surprise, but the stuff I'm caring about a lot in wrestling is a lot of WWE stuff lately, you know?
Like, I'm really hyped for that Kevin Owens and Ezekiel match at, you know,
I mean,
at the
I'm so into Zeke, see, yeah. Seeing Zeke speak, you know?
Yeah.
He's super over. Elias, man, my point was, is that Elias, I was watching Elias, and then I was thinking about Riddle, and I was just like, man, I'm really good at, from all these combos yet, it's so interesting. It's like all those NXT talents. It really was interesting to see. Like, to me, it was always kind of obvious which guys in had the tools to survive a main roster, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Riddle's like the big guy where I was like, I said it from the start. I was like, he's the biggest. He's literally headed towards main event, right? I mean, he's cutting promos by himself. You know,
I think he's going to get Roman. He might even get Roman at Hell in a Cell.
That's what I'm saying. He's headed towards main event, and I feel like I always said it. Like, I want people to go back on this podcast because remember Shebs arguing with me? I was like, Riddle is the guy who he can literally wrestle. He's one of the only guys I see who could potentially wrestle
like the Brock,
in the main event.
He had the feud with Brock and Goldberg too. He was in the conversation with the right people. So you see where he is. He's like, this is a big dude. Like he stands in there and he can go with it. But you know me, I was diehard Matt Riddle fan here for a while. I mean, and honestly, he's done a pretty fucking compelling job to get me roped back in.
Yeah.
When I saw a kid in an RK Bro 420 shirt. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I mean, he was like 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
So does that mean they're printing those shirts on youth sizes as well?
You know what? I'm so numb to weed culture. Like,
it's pretty easy to know that RK-Bro just...
I had an incident very recently where I saw someone get mad at somebody for smoking weed indoors. And I was like, wait, what? Is that something are you even allowed to get mad at people for smoking weed anywhere? You know, like, like weed is so normalized in our society in general, but especially where I live, you know. So it didn't even dawn on me that like they got a weed thing going with Riddle, and that might be weird, you know.
Dude,
hey, I'm so out of it. I don't have kids like or anything. Like, are we even telling kids to not smoke weed anymore, or are we giving them weed? I mean, is it in the lunchroom? I don't even know.
They don't make the RK-Bro shirts in 420 shirts in youth sizes. So that parent bought like probably a small.
He got an adult small. You know what I mean?
Yep.
This dad was like, I need my kid in a weed shirt, which by the way is also not that weird. He can have a kid who's like pro cannabis, right?
And if the kid loves Riddle and Randy Orton, I mean, there were people crying in the audience that RK-Bro lost to the Usos. So this is like a perfect example. It's like, wow, they've really done a great job with Roman Reigns and the Usos and the Bloodline. Like, it's just been incredible to that. They're getting people to really care about Randy Orton and Matt Riddle now, to the point where Matt Riddle's getting a bump, which is something we knew because we was talented. But like, this guy's really fucking done a great job. There's nothing you can say about it. He's killed it. Crowd loves him.
I'm into it. You know, it's good shit going on there, is what it is. And then we got Cody in a cell with Seth. Pretty exciting, but did you see Cody? The Downstate song passed like 10 million listens or some shit. They're going to make an acoustic version of it.
We'll probably listen to that. We should listen to that 10 times in a row on the pod.
It was like kind of the first time I've seen, like, I don't know why this is not that interesting, but I was like, I really never really seen anyone like announce they're going to make something. You rarely see that. Everything just drops. It's everything so immediate.
Yeah, it's like, hey,
I was like, I can't listen now? What is this?
Here it is. You're not really getting everybody hyped for this by doing that. Just drop the fucking song next time.
But then did you see Cody posted his like doll? It's like his daughter with his like brawl or what are those called? The wrestling buddies. Yeah. He's got a wrestling buddy and it looks pretty good actually. I was like, I'm gonna get one of those, you know? You know, Cody's continuing to rise up the WWE ladder.
They probably didn't make the song before because they didn't expect it to get 10 million listens on it. So they're like, oh shit, we're going to get 10 million listens. Probably should do something about this. Why don't we make a song? Well, we're here now, so.
I wonder if Vince liked the song when he first heard it. You know, because he didn't have a choice because he was buying the whole character, right? So you can't buy Kingdom Cody without the Cody, without Kingdom, the song, you know? Interesting. Let's switch to let's talk about Double or Nothing and let's use Dynamite as ways to talk about Double or Nothing. But I'm gonna bring up the card actually.
Great go-home show.
Yeah, the go-home show was pretty good. I liked it.
And Rampage is the real go-home show because it's live actually on Friday. So
yes,
but I thought tonight was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. Definitely a good show. You know, also some weirdness. There's some weird shit going on in AEW.
Definite weird shit going on.
Yeah, like that Jericho segment was so weird.
With the fireball to the guy in the back.
Yeah. That was so. I mean, he's looking shredded, Jericho. Good for him. You know.
But then he came out on the stage. He walked out on the ramp, and I'm like, that doesn't even look like the guy that was back there. Would he stop and catering before he like came out or something? Like,
yeah. Who knows? Pre-taped. He's like, you know, I'm a wizard. Like, standalone was so fucking weird. It's just, you know.
I was honestly thinking, I mean, those guys that are around them now, like Garcia and those two other buffoons, are really like, to be around this iteration of Jericho is like, I think, an incredible thing for them to have as like an experience, because you see how effective it is. This is so fucking dumb. It's the dumbest shit we've ever seen in our whole entire lives. But we're going to get anarchy at the stadium and they're going to fucking go against those other five psychopaths. And it's going to be absolute insanity. And
it's anarchy in the arena match.
Anarchy in the arena, my bad.
Which is essentially just a stadium match again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's that match is Eddie Kingston, Santana, Ortiz, and Daniel Bryan and Moxley. So Moxley, Daniel Bryan worked everybody, right, with his foot getting caught?
I guess so. But I think it was actually stuck.
Was stuck, but then I thought it was a work. Let's see. Yeah.
I don't know. He was out there tonight, and apparently he said he was limping, but, I mean, they were fucking scrumming, so I think he's fine.
Oh, I thought it was a work.
Like, it actually happened, but maybe, and they thought maybe he was hurt at first, but he's fine. I mean, he was out there tonight, so he's got to be fine.
Yeah. And he's also still, he's booked on the match, you know what I mean? All right, that's cool. I mean, whatever, it's a cool big match. It's just kind of like, you know, I get it. This pay-per-view, fine. But, I'd love to see a Daniel Bryan versus, like, you know, a singles match, you know, on this card. But
yeah, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of wrestlers on this card, that's for sure. You can definitely say that. There's a lot of multi-man matches, for sure.
I think AEW is starting to hit the place where wrestlers are starting to be upset, you know?
It's getting pretty jam-packed, man.
Yo, random thing. I know this is a complete jump off, but I feel like they let Joey Janela go, and then his popularity went way up. Am I wrong?
Joey's on fire right now.
Isn't that so odd how that happened?
Well, it was great for him because he came back and he just went full speed back into the indies and he started doing all this crazy shit. And it was just like, you know, now he's all over the place. I think he's wrestling like 6 matches this weekend.
And he's getting jacked up. He's probably like trying to be like, I'm going to try to go for WWE, right?
And he's, I don't think so. No.
You don't think so? He's probably just like whatever. I'm just going to get jacked and actually try to do it the right way.
He's doing.
He always said he wanted to be in WWE. I actually know that. I've seen him talk about that.
I'm telling you right now, this guy is gonna make. He's a good wrestling like promoter too. He knows how to book cards and like do things and book matches. He's in the money spot right now. Yeah. Trust me, he's gonna be just fine.
All right, so let's look at this card. Let's jump on. Let's just start at the main event because it's actually not that much to talk about. Weirdly, when it comes to like these feuds, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's some of these matches will be sick. Like Hardy's versus Bucks is like, first off, I've seen it live. It's a little bit like we've seen it. But that'll still be sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll be
like,
sick, like, but like.
It doesn't really need a build. Like, I mean, no. I wouldn't mind one that I cared about, but also if it doesn't have it, no big deal. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Hangman versus CM Punk. So this was the interesting feud because you and I were talking about it. I was like, how are they going to pull this off? And I got to say, the way they pulled it off was not at all how I expected it, and I really like it. I really think it's really cool. It's really slick. And not only that, it's kind of exactly plays into exactly what I like about Hangman. He's essentially saying, like, it's a lot of subtext, right? Which he's saying is kind of like, I'm protecting AEW from you, you know? That actually is not subtext. That's his exact words. But he's saying essentially like, you know, you're CM Punk. You're coming in here trying to be like a novelty act here. And you winning this title kind of changes the whole culture of this place, you know? You become more of just like a WWE star with the title. Who's a dude who's past his prime and is just a guy here collecting a paycheck, really. You know, that's kind of what he's saying without saying it. And he's like, you don't carry yourself like a champion like anymore. You don't really have that in you. You don't have that care that I have. Like, I love this place in a way that you're actually incapable of loving at this state of your life, you know? Mm. And so he has that because he's like, I see the way you carry yourself. I see what you don't do as opposed to what you do. And it's kind of like what you stand for makes me kind of sick. So that's why I'm mad at you, even though you're not mad at me. And that's what's really cool about this feud. I can't remember the last feud I saw where, like, one guy is like, hey, which is CM Punk. He's like, I respect you, but I just want to win the title. And he's like, no, for me, this is like personal. I really, really don't want you having this title more than I want to beat you. He's like, you know, and I think that was very slick, very, very unique writing. He's like, the consequences of you winning this title are very big, and I don't want that. He's not making it very much about himself. He's making it about the company. And where it goes with a CM Punk as at the helm.
Yeah, I love it because I this is where AEW, when they get it right, they get it right. You know, like, I think this journey for CM Punk was very well done. And it's beautiful because really I give so much credit to MJF too and the feud that they did. And now him lead and then him branching off and continuing on. It's very easy for wrestlers to have this huge story build up and then nothing really of relevance happens after it. Right. But this was perfect. The winner of that feud was obviously going to be the next one to like go and challenge for the title. Right. And one did, and then the other one has this other storyline. And I think what it's really just showing is just how fucking great Hangman is. It's like you said, I'm like, I am so on his side for this. And really the storytelling has made you kind of feel that way. You know, like, I got against CM Punk because of the shit that he pulled with MJF that he continued in his feud with Hangman. So he carried over that Long Island shit. He took that Long Island shit from one feud to the other. And you know what? That kind of was an interesting play for him in this storyline because it's got people. This crowd isn't really 100% on his side, you know.
Well, it's multifaceted. Like it's perfect like gray area wrestling where it's like you're not sure who's the baby, who's not. Technically, on paper, the baby face is, if you had to just go from a technical standpoint, it's CM Punk because Adam Page is the full on aggressor here, you know. Mm. But also CM Punk has a kind of a shitty. He has like an attitude, and he's like. He's kind of a pompous asshole, and he's making these points where, Hangman pushed him to this place where he had to point like, "Yo, I built." He's like, "Stop mouthing off because like I paved the road for your career to even exist." Like there would be, you know, it's like don't underestimate like me. I'm CM fucking Punk. Invented all. It's true. He invented all these fucking guys. Really. There wouldn't be mainstream wrestling for guys that look like CM Punk, even though CM Punk is bigger than all of them now, even, which even speaks to that. You know, if it wasn't for him, who went up against a guy like Cena and said, like, yo, we can be, you know, indie wrestlers can be contenders here, you know? So, yeah, it's just.
I think
they're gonna go to war. You know,
they're gonna go to war, man, and I think it's gonna be epic. And I wonder what the crowd will truly be like if Punk wins, because I bought into everything he said, what Hangman said tonight. You know, so I'm really excited to see how this is gonna finish and where it's gonna, and especially where it will go after this.
Yeah. I'm expecting the next big cheers for Punk winning, and I think he's just
Yeah. I think he's gonna go down. I think he's gonna go down a little different road during this match. That's gonna get people to turn on him. So if he was to win, people would be pissed that he won, and he did it that way or whatever way he chooses to do it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, a really cool thing they could do is have CM Punk win the title, and then he kind of becomes Cena like slowly. He slowly starts like hawking merch and like putting on muscle and like being the face of the company and like being on all the like posters and promos. And then like literally at one point, like Hangman shows him the cups and he shows him the flyers and the, what are those called? The program, you know,
become everything like, look you at hated. It.
It's you. Like, that's like your big thing was like, I'm not on the cups, I'm not on the programs, you know, that's from the pipe bomb. And he's like, yo, now you're everything that you said.
And that was that line that Hangman said too about rolling the pipe down though, and like to the ring and exploding at his feet, you know, like, man, I mean, it was like an incredible performance, right? Like,
it was really acting good. Was wise, like, the best thing he did. He delivered the pipe bomb thing was a little. It was fine. It was just a little bit like, oh, I get it. You have to mention the pipe bomb, you know. But
yeah, but he said it in a way that we haven't heard it before, you know.
He's like, I'm not. I don't want to be like. I don't know. Whatever the way he said it, he said, I'm going to stand. I'm not. I'm standing in the way of you, like an AEW, like that. That wording was really fucking good. Him just being like, I'm stopping you from being the face of this place because it makes this place cheapened, you know?
Yeah,
I think it was really fucking good. Again, Hangman will deliver. This match will be sick. And I like this feud a lot because it's like, it's hard to do, and not every feud needs to be like the evil versus good, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm
especially
here for
when you have records like the way this is based on the foundation that like CM Punk was 16-1. You know,
anybody that listens to this pod knows I've always said that you can tell stories, and it doesn't have to be face and heel in every story. It's possible. Just let these guys do what they do and women do what they do best, and they can do it. And honestly, it's what's getting in the way of AEW booking their women's division too, because I mean, they should really be ashamed of themselves with these two matches that they had. They just literally threw Anna Jay into a pay-per-view match strictly based that she's like the number two ranked wrestler. And because she came to whoever's assistance last week, I don't know, Chris Stats or whatever, Ruby Soho's, I don't know. And then this Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb thing, after a great feud with Sheeta, they just like put no effort into making this good in any kind of way.
No,
and it's crazy.
Deeb is now wrestling Thunder Rosa. I'm like, I don't even know if she earned that. You know?
Well, and this is the problem. And this is the problem I'm going to run into more, because you know you're going to see it every single night. It's one woman's match on each card, and it's just they have too much talent now with all the shit that's going on. Forbidden Door coming up. Man, they better be careful that they don't start putting these, like, giving the women's division a back seat, because it's there. It doesn't have, they need to start focusing and telling some storylines. Like, Britt Baker is literally the only compelling wrestler in that division right now, in terms of like, you see her in the ring and you're like, she can go with anybody and make anything work. You know, like, kudos to Jade doing a great job as the TBS champion, and, you know, Thunder Rosa too, but like, they weren't able to do what Britt did. You know, in any, all of Britt's feuds were meaningful and had it. They just,
yeah,
it's weird, man. It's weird.
Definitely some work to be had. I would say, you know, that's, you know, there's this card ain't flawless, you know, it's not one of their better Double or Nothing cards, you know. I don't get, we talk about it every time, but I really hope this House of Black versus Death Triangle is fine, but like, I'm not really a Death Triangle. I love Penta. I love Rafe.
Well,
like,
that has.
I love all those wrestlers, but the Death Triangle thing, it just is.
Something needs to happen in that. Something needs to happen in that match to put a hard end to that feud and propel House of Black forward. Like, catapult them forward. Like, to the front of the line. Like, it's enough is enough. Like, they're not even in the rankings. I looked at the rankings, like, they came out today, and I was like, what's going on with this company right now? Like, these are not compelling rankings. This does not look like the AEW that I knew. And you know what? They're starting to show some holes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I'm so pumped for MJF versus Wardlow.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about showing holes, I just thought the product in general, when I was watching the show, I was like, you know, there was definitely there's definitely a sloppiness to a lot of these. A lot of these promos are just, they have a lot of really bad promos happening. It's tough. Being a wrestler is very tough, but Adam Cole, Samoa Joe segment was a little like, Samoa Joe can cut killer promos. And they had a little segment of him just coming up being like, I'll take you out, baby. And you're like, this is the match before, this is the go home Dynamite. So it's like, Samoa Joe, give him that fucking mic. He's sick on the microphone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm AEW, I get all my guys who have mic skills on a mic, like, more. Because their show needs to be better on the mic. I mean, just the stick stuff needs to be way stronger. You have Joe versus Cole for the men's Owen Hart Cup.
I mean, that first match time ever.
Sick. Yeah, that match will be very sick, obviously. Who wins that? I think Joe. Can Cole eat another big loss at a pay-per-view? They probably have to let Cole win, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
Like, do you want to see Adam Cole, the character, being like, I'm the Owen Hart Cup Tournament Championship winner? Like,
I mean, honestly, if there was one person to do it, he's probably the best man for the job.
This Owen Hart Foundation Tournament is just a little interesting to me, because what do you win from it?
I don't think they ever really said anything about that.
I'm a little confused by the whole thing. You know, like, I'm like, I like that there's a tournament. I'm just a little bit like, oh, I like to have some kind of stakes. I guess every tournament can't be for, like, number one contendership. But, you know, I don't know. Here, does it say anything about what you get here? That you win a trophy, you know? I don't know. You get trophy? A trophy. You get a trophy, you know?
Nice.
You want to see Adam Cole carrying around a trophy?
You want to
see Samoa Joe carrying around a trophy?
I'd rather see Adam Cole carrying around a trophy. I feel like he'll do more with the trophy.
Yeah.
Unless the trophy has a towel around it. That's the only way Samoa Joe will pick it. It's his new towel, right?
A wrestler like The Miz. Because Miz is a wrestler who you want to win trophies. You know? Because Miz will walk around with that trophy. He will make it so important for like 2 years. He'll be like, I am the Owen Hart. Like, can you believe this? He'll carry it around. He'll hit people with it. He'll sell it so hard. You know, indie wrestlers and trophies, not really a great, it's not a great mix, you know?
It's true.
It is true, right? It's a little WWE, the trophy, you know? But I like the idea, man. I like Owen Hart. I like that Owen Hart's wife was in the crowd last week. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. What else we got on this card? There's, you know, Team Taz match, whatever.
The tag team triple threat match I'm actually kind of pumped for, because that triple threat match tonight was cool. And then you get the three big men in it also.
Yeah, well, I think Keith that match, and Swerve is a cool tag team.
Yeah, and I think Hobbs and Ricky are too, and you get the tag champs. I think we see in that match, I think we see the Jungle Boy turn. I think it finally happens.
Right.
I think
he'll
start becoming
the Luke Perry son.
Yeah.
Like Angle, like a Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
He should roll around with the hunk, you know?
From the Hollywood jungle. Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah.
Imagine if he came out to Welcome to the Jungle.
It'd be fun. What else we got on this card?
I think that was Newman's idea.
MJF versus Wardlow. If Wardlow wins, he'll be granted his release from contract with MJF. MJF wins, Wardlow will be permanently banned from signing with the AEW. All right. So Wardlow is going to win this match, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Wardlow
stuff. Did you see
good.
Him throw that guy onto the cage, and he just like fell in between the cage and the ring?
Oh, yeah, that was gross. Yeah.
I mean,
that was gross.
Oh, my God. He like disappeared into like the dark realm or something. He was gone.
Tulo, I got to pee. You keep talking about that.
All right, go pee, man.
Keep going. Tulo time.
All right, Tulo time. Wow.
I drank way too much water today because of my vaccine.
10:58 p.m. Central Standard Time. Usually give me something to talk about, but he's leaving, so all right. Honestly, I'm still recovering from this wedding. It was crazy. It beat the crap out of me, and I deeply apologize for us taking time off. We've been trying to really do a good job getting content out. They've been super busy with these shows, which is cool, but I'm stoked for Double or Nothing this weekend. I feel like it's been forever since, and I guess that's not true, but it feels like it's been forever since we got like to watch a pay-per-view. And honestly, if I'm around Sunday, I think we should all get together, like the good old times, sit back, maybe I'll drink a couple IPAs, tell Timberly to eat my ass, you know, all the fun things. But I mean, yeah, I'm excited. I think WWE's got me back in. I think that's nice. I think the only thing I have no interest in NXT 2.0 whatsoever. It's kind of crazy how it all came about. But I think WWE is doing a lot of fun things right now. So we'll see what Dan says.
Back, baby.
How was your pee, man?
It was great. I'm drinking a ton of water because when I got the vaccine, they said I got to drink a lot of water. And I also just naturally drink a bunch of water. And I'm doing a Murph tomorrow. Do you know what a Murph is, Tulo?
Yeah, it's like a crazy CrossFit workout.
It is a crazy CrossFit workout.
Burpees, right?
Please. No, it's not burpees. It's here, let me look it up. It's I know what it is. It's a 1 mile run. And then you do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats. And then you run another mile.
Wow.
Yeah. So the thing about it is, though, with the pull-ups, you can do kipping pull-ups, you know?
Oh, where you
so,
like...
Yeah, so you can, like, use your body's momentum to get over. So that's how you can, like, pull off 100. But there's...
Is that right? Did I do it right?
Yeah, you did do it right. I'm trying to see. Hold on. You also are technically supposed to wear a 20-pound vest when you do it.
Holy.
But I can't
shit.
Do that. I have worn a vest and taken it off. Like, I've never finished one, but I've worn it for, like, half of it. And then I'm like, you know, I can't. It's with the pull-ups, with the vest on, you're done. Mm. Now, the thing with the pull-ups is, anyway, so I do these, I don't know. I like to gamify working out, so it really works for me, you know. But when I get to the first mile run, I run like pretty good, you know. The second mile run, I'm like basically walking, running.
You're dead at that point.
Yeah, dead.
because your body's just like numb from overexertion and doing all that other shit. Like, it's insane.
Oh my God, it was so hot. I was working out today. I was like, if it's hot like this when I do this. But anyway, pretty fun. So I'm doing that tomorrow. So I was to make sure I get my water in and that my vaccine does not affect me too much. But yeah.
Can we take a little Veer Mahan?
Oh my God, real you quick? Want to take a Veer Mahan? We should get a sound effect for that. Let's take a Veer Mahan. Yeah. This whole podcast is one big Veer Mahan.
Yeah. I feel like we should. Obi-Wan coming out on fucking.
You were trying to take the Obi-Wan detour?
Yeah, 100%.
You're not looking forward to it? Give me a second.
Yeah, I would think you're looking forward to it.
Oh, I got a bit. I got something to talk to you about. Also, I definitely am looking forward to that. But hold on a second.
Oh, you know what I'm really looking forward to too? I'm going to see Maverick in Dolby, like surround, at the theater. I heard it's.
Are we calling it just Maverick, or are we calling it
Top Gun 2? Top Gun 2.
Obi-Wan in the way. Yeah. Yo, by the way, hold on.
By the way,
just to play a little more because I rewatched Batman again.
Wow.
My brother was here visiting.
Okay.
And he put it on again. I didn't finish it this time, but I watched another 2 hours.
Butchie?
Yeah, Butchie was watching it. Butchie likes the movie. It's so funny. He likes it. He doesn't think it's perfect or anything, but we had like completely different complaints about the movie. So we're watching the whole time just complaining, you know? and I'm like things he's upset about. I'm upset about like big things where I'm like, you know, Catwoman and like her, everything in this movie is stuff that we didn't see. It's relationships you don't care about. They're like, what happened to that girl who died? And you're like, I don't know who that character is. Why would I care about that character? I didn't see her on screen for even a second, you know? So do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They're like, it's like, so Catwoman's whole thing is like looking for her friend. And you're like, I don't care about that character. Why would I care about that? You know what I mean? It's like the central character. Anyway, my brother's like, hey, that part's fine. The stuff my brother gets upset about is he's like, when Batman jumps off the roof in that scene, you know, he has kind of a crash landing. And my brother's like, he should be way more fucked up after that landing. And I'm like, yo, Neil, like, I'll suspend my disbelief that Batman doesn't get hurt, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that part I'm fine with. I'm talking about, like, the central plot that upsets me. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't care at all about half of these characters. This is the combo we were having during it. Then here's another Batman Veer. Hold on. Another Batman Veer Mahan.
I like how we went on the Obi-Wan in the way tour.
Because Batman, you know, he's and, many would say.
It led us to a Batman.
All right. So Batman's in the way. Batman's in. Last night, couldn't really sleep. And so I started going on a YouTube dip about Heath, just watching like YouTube documentaries about Heath Ledger playing the Joker.
Yeah.
Just about like the whole origin of that. Mm-hmm. None of these things were interesting. I gotta be honest. None of these were.
Wow.
You know, like sometimes people make content on YouTube where you're like, what? Why? Is it you spend your time? I mean, you could say that about this if you want, but you know, I wouldn't argue, but I'm saying like, it's literally them just like laying out, like just reading the Wikipedia page essentially. So with no commentary, they're like, you know, Heath Ledger wanted to put the choice. It's like, he wasn't really the choice. Actually, he was up for the role of Batman, you know, but then Christopher Nolan worked with him another thing and he thought of him for the role of Joker. He wasn't on the original list. And like, that's what they post. And that's the whole thing. And you're like, oh, that's cool. But literally you could just read that. Like, tell me how you feel, baby. You know what I mean? Or give me something juicy. You know, but these things have like 10 million views and it's a guy just saying out the basics of Heath Ledger getting the Joker role. You know, what I want to know about is like, and I found one after. I want to know like how deep into character. I was trying to look up if like he got so deep into character as part of him passing away, you know? Yeah. Like, did he get to, because people are like, yeah, no, you know, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. I don't know. What do you think? You think there was a work shoot there? You think that he played the Joker and that led him down a dark path? I don't think that character's not that dark. Like, by the way,
I don't think it led him down a dark path, but I think he got immersed into the role where, like, he had to play like this, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was super, like, deep into, like, mind stuff, you know, like, very emotional trauma, like, about his scars. And, you know, I think he reached down into a place and found a dark place inside him, and that came to the forefront. And I think it mixed with a lot of other things that he probably emotionally had going on,
right?
Which ultimately led to him not being able to cope with the current state of his reality, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that I've watched that movie like 5,000 times, okay?
Yeah.
The character's not. It's dark in the sense of, like, it's a dark version of the Joker. You know what I mean? But it's not, like, a crazy role. It's still, like, a PG-13 movie, you know?
Yeah, but, like, you have to understand that, like, every time he showed up, he had to immerse himself into this character. He couldn't, like, you know, like, what I'm saying is, so, like, in order to for that to be displayed, like, I don't think Jared Leto went through the same thing. He might have. I mean, I know he does that. That's how his thing is. Like, he, like, want, I think, probably told people to call him Joker, you know, on set.
Well, I'm saying, I know, like, whatever, if he's method acting and then he's trying to get into the mentality of a guy who would kill so simply, easily. What I'm saying is that he doesn't actually, like, there's not, a lot of those scenes don't even exist. He doesn't even have to, like, fake kill people, really. Because it's PG-13. It's not like he had scenes where he had to, like, cut someone's head off and then the blood's all over him and he's got to dance in it. There are movies like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying that I think we – listen, fucking whatever. But my thing is this. It's like, yo, if I get to, like, be that – I get to, like, do my work and I do something that iconic and that costs me my life, hey, baby, is it better to burn out than fade away? I mean, you know, fuck that. He's like God, you know? Mm. For it. So not that I even need that kind of praise, but I'm just saying, if you're trying to be an actor and you do that, I mean, your life's work done. It's almost kind of beautiful, you know? Anyway.
Interesting way to put it.
It's fucked up. You know, it's fucked. I think about it like this. Like, yo, like a lot of wrestlers, you know, like, look like
you won an Oscar for it.
Right.
You're right. Like, I mean, that's like the highest honor you can get for your role. So, like, he was so good at what he did that he won an Oscar.
You think he would have won that Oscar if he was alive?
I think so. I mean, I would hope he would have, you know, like, the performance was that good.
All right.
I still think Tony Stark should have won an Oscar for
100%.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, I think Tony Stark should win an Oscar for playing Robert Downey Jr. I 100% agree. There's so many roles that, like, you know, like I've said it a million times before, but like Jeff Bridges should win an Oscar for The Dude. I think Will Ferrell should get nominated for an Oscar for Ron Burgundy. Like, I think there's roles that, like, it's like the way we view acting, it's like it has to be like hard drama, Meryl Streep. And you're like, some of those roles that are iconic are very difficult to pull off, even though they're kind of goofy comedies. You know, the fact that they make you care about it is very grounded. So eat my ass about that. No respect for comedic acting. I hate it. You know what I mean? Hey, if it was up to me, here would be the Oscar winners, okay? 92. Jim Carrey for Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. you know?
94, Chris Farley for Tommy Boy.
This is probably the real ones I would give. I'd probably give 94. I probably would have given Samuel L. Jackson for Pulp Fiction. Okay? Well, let's see. 95? I don't know what these movies are. I got to look them up. Oh, I can't do this off the cuff.
No. I don't know years.
I can't do this off the cuff.
I don't know movie years. You crazy?
I give Paul Rudd for Wet Hot 2002. I go, I would have given.
Joe Pesci, My Cousin Vinny. Phenomenal performance.
Well, she actually won. Marissa Tomei actually won.
Oh, Marissa Tomei actually won. That's right. I was going to say.
Which is rare because it is rare to win an Oscar for a comedy. I mean, you can count it on one hand, probably.
She killed it in that.
Giamatti was nominated for Sideways, which was a comedy. He didn't win.
He did it? I thought he did.
No.
Oh, no, this, but Sideways
we're
won.
So we have a Veer Bahand. Sweet
Veer we were supposed to talk about Obi-Wan.
Okay, anyway. Whatever.
Sweet Veer Bahand.
You were going Sweet Caroline for Sweet Obi-Wan. Sweet Veer Bahand.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. Veer Bahand into Obi-Wan. All right. I don't know what we're doing here, folks. We're having fun. We're having fun. But yeah, I definitely, my point is, I actually think he would have won. What we were saying is, I think Ledger would have won if he was alive. I think that people would have recognized that performance as awesome, regardless. But I'm thinking, how many superhero roles or comic book kind of roles have been nominated for an Oscar? Was Jack Nicholson nominated for the Joker? I think he was.
I was thinking Cena might have been in the Emmy nod fucking category this year. Because his character is
the first time a film with the Joker won an Oscar in 1990 with Tim Burton's Man of the Starry, so won the Oscar. Best Art Direction.
Oh, wow. You know, I what's his name was nominated though, right?
Hold on, let's see.
Was he?
Nicholson? Hold on. Yeah. Let's see. Batman. Here, Academy Awards. He's nominated for 1989. No. List of awards and nominations received by Jack Nicholson. He's not nominated for Batman. But here's something I know randomly off the top of my head. Pacino was nominated for his role in Dick Tracy for an Oscar.
Interesting.
He plays like, what's that guy's name?
When are they going to remake that?
I don't know.
Dick Tracy. We need some dick in our life, you know?
We could use, folks, we could all use a little bit of Dick Tracy, that is. Best Supporting Actor, 1991.
Oh, yeah, he played the main bad guy, right?
Yeah, he plays like the villain. Wait, Best Supporting Actor, here we go.
Best Supporting Actor. Yeah, I remember I had like the Dick Tracy watch. My brother probably did.
Wait, what the fuck? Wait.
My brother was a jerk. Dick Tracy was one of my brother's guys.
Did I make this? Wait, did I make up this fact? Hold on.
You might have.
Here, control.
probably right in the fucking sheets.
Poopy and Pacino.
On one of those articles that pop up on dirt sheets at the bottom. Like it's like the weird, like pimple popping thing. And then Pacino.
Pacino has been nominated for an Oscar one time. Four times, okay? Can you guess? We've gotten so off the rails here. What, all right, following those received three or more. All right, he's been nominated for Best Supporting Actor four times. Can you guess these Pacino movies?
Rayman.
Supporting.
Rayman.
He's not right? In Rayman. Isn't Rayman, isn't that Dustin Hoffman, bro?
Oh, that's Dustin Hoffman.
fucking idiot.
I knew I was going to do this. I thought it was going to happen with De Niro, though. Pacino, supporting actor, huh?
Samuel Jackson was nominated for an Oscar for Pulp Fiction, by the way.
I bet you Pacino was nominated for supporting actor in The Irishman. Was he nominated in The Irishman?
Yes, he was. That's one of the four. Great job. Okay. Yeah, this is couldn't be less of a wrestling podcast right now.
Okay. Let me think. Hold on, I got this. Any Given Sunday.
No. I bet you can get this other one though, by the way. Here the reason you might not get this is because you might think he's the lead of this movie.
Wait, wasn't he in Heat? Was he in Heat?
He is.
Did he get nominated for?
But he's not nominated. For Heat.
Okay.
One of them is Dick Tracy, by the way. I'll tell you. I was correct. One about of them that. He plays Big Boy. He plays Alphonse Big Boy Caprice. That's
right. Okay.
You could definitely get the one. You won't get one. One is Glengarry Glenn Ross. You won't get
that. Yeah, I was never going to get that. I actually should have got that.
The other one is his most famous movie. And it's, I don't know why
Scarface?
He's a supporting actor. No.
I'm drawing a blank. Go.
The Godfather.
Oh my God, The Godfather.
Not only that, this is really interesting. If I'm looking at this correctly, the Oscar. This is so fascinating. I know, this is not at all wrestling, but 1972 Oscars. Okay, the 45th Oscars. Three of the five best supporting actors are from The Godfather.
Holy shit!
James Caan.
Yeah, James Caan.
Robert Duvall and Al Pacino are all nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Who won it?
And here's the interesting. None of them win. They all lose to Joel Grey in Cabaret. Cabaret. Joel Grey, father of Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing.
I had the time of my life.
Was that nice? Wow, I don't know how the fuck we got here. You know what I mean?
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. Yeah, I'm pumped for Obi-Wan. Let's talk about wrestling again. no, I'm very excited for Obi-Wan. I have a little bit of an issue, though.
Yeah.
All right, side note. We're talking about Disney Plus. Check out my friends Dan Greger and Doug Mann's movie, Chippendale's Rescue Ranger.
I heard it was amazing.
It's great. I've watched it. Just shout out to those guys. I love those guys. They wrote that movie. They literally on my porch here, Doug was telling me about this movie like 4 years ago. He's like, yeah, we're doing this Rescue Rangers thing. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, it's live action, this, that. And I was like, you know, sounds like a cool idea, you know? And then it fucking came to life. It's a big hit. So check it out. It's awesome. Congrats to those guys. All right. Obi-Wan. I've not gotten through Boba Fett yet. I keep putting it on and falling asleep. Does Boba Fett get better? Because I'm a little bit. I love the character Boba Fett. And if you told me as a kid there would be a Boba Fett TV show and I would not be done with it the second it came out, I would never believe you. But yeah. I keep putting this thing on and going, wait, what's happening again? Oh, there's Jabba. There's like a Jabba, and then, but it's not Jabba.
I think I rewatched the last three episodes of it like three times.
I know he bumps into Mando, right? So I know he's going to see Mando. So that's going to be fun because I love the Mando.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get a Grogu spotting. I don't know. No spoilers,
maybe.
Please. No,
maybe.
No spoilers. Who knows? There's a lot that can be had. A lot to...
Maybe Luke Skywalker comes back. Maybe Darth Vader makes an appearance. Who knows? You never know.
Wow. Do you spoil shit for me?
No, I'm just naming all Star Wars characters. Okay, so, cool. Like, it doesn't spoil it.
Chewbacca. I heard it end really well. We probably should.
Can't do it right now because I lost my voice at the wedding, but I can usually do it. Chewbacca.
Hey, who wins, MJF or Wardlow?
Wardlow. You just rattling through?
Yeah, Wardlow definitely wins. He definitely wins. And where do you put Wardlow after this win? MJF not happy with the company from what we've been reading. What do you think about that? If you were MJF, would you feel happy with this company or no?
I just think he's just so phenomenal as a pro wrestler that I think he's actually whatever he's saying, he kind of warrants it. Think about what he's done. That was my point before. It's like, you just go back in his lineage of feuds and he's had insane storylines every single time. It doesn't miss. He's just great. He's a great professional wrestler.
He's fantastic.
He had the Shawn Michaels ref shorts on. Did you see that tonight?
Yeah, I saw that. I like that. That's my first thought was the only other guy who refs in tights like that is Sean, the tight shorts.
And he had the Burberry stripes.
The Burberry stripes, which I thought was pretty cool. I also kind of dig Sean Spears a little bit, like in this role. I think he's kind of like a great goon, you know?
Oh, you know, I saw a tweet like earlier, and they're like, we haven't given Sean Spears enough credit in his role with MJF. And honestly, truth be told, I mean, the guy is the furthest away from a perfect 10, and that's why I love him, you know?
He even
brought it back last week. Like,
can we say this about Sean Spears? I would say this. I'm officially labeling him. He's a perfect 4.5.
How about this? Perfect 6.9.
He's a perfect
6.9. Perfect 6.9.
I like the 6. I would just go clean. I think he's a perfect 6.
Round numbers? Six.
Six. Six. I'm okay. Barely and sometimes not passing. You know?
Six.
He's the perfect six. He's the perfect six. Yeah.
Anyway, that's why we love him.
I imagine this pay-per-view is going to be really good, but I'll be honest. I'm not like crazy pumped about this card. I'm very pumped about Hangman Page, that match. This is a big problem with MJF for me, is that I don't get hyped for his matches like I do with Page. And I think he's got to find a way, MJF, for me to really – I like this Punk feud. That was the exception to it. That was the exception, you know. But I don't get really that pumped for his matches. I like his segments on TV, you know.
Yeah, and I think he has a unique way of kind of like – surprising you once he gets to those matches, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what he's going to do in this match for sure.
Yeah. But we are hitting an interesting, we are really here in a really interesting zone. I do think the WWE product is.
I thought about this before and I forgot to say it, but doesn't it seem like WWE kind of took a lot of the little like fun, jokey things that AEW was doing and then like put their shine on it, you know? Oh, remember, dude, there's no more Orange Cassidy stuff. All those fun gimmicky things have left AEW. And then they are just straight into like now, especially with ROH being around, they're straight into like wrestling, which is great because that's what they want it to be. But it's funny because I think now WWE is shining even more because they're doing fun gimmicky kind of things, you know, like Sami Zayn in the fucking Bloodline, like.
Sami Zayn is pretty fun. I don't know. I'm just kind of feeling. I'm feeling WWE right now. It's a lot very Cody based. You know.
I mean, I mean, Judgment Day still can eat my ass. I mean, that thing is just not getting any better.
It's not Judgment Day is not good. But I will tell you, I think Edge will get there. I think Edge is just that good. You know.
I honestly hope he does because I think it would be really cool to see a big faction in WWE with him at the like leading it. But like they gotta fucking make it cooler. It's fucking lame.
Do you see that Hell in a Cell poster with Cody on it? Holy shit! I think I might try to get that and frame it. It's sick. No,
you probably can. Yeah, it's probably available. Actually, I think I've had
the promotional poster is very nice. How do I get? I think I would like that up in my house. I gotta be honest. Let's see. Can I buy that? Should I make a merch?
I'll look it right at.
All right. What movies did you think Pacino was nominated for Best Actor?
Scarface.
I don't think he was nominated for Scarface, but let's see if you're right. I might be. I know what he won. I
said Rain Man, and it was fucking.
List of award. Okay, here we go. Academy Awards. Here we go. Best Actor. He's got nominated 4 times for Best Actor. Okay? No, 5 times. Okay?
Uh-huh.
One he won, by the way. He won one. I know the one he won. Do you know what it is? Anyway, he's like, I'm going to take a flamethrower to this place. It's something that you have not really had in a while. You've not really experienced in a while.
I'm drawing a blank.
I can't wait till you get it. You have not. This is something you've not really came into encounter with in a long while, Tula.
Peace of mind.
No. The scent of a woman.
Scent of a woman.
Folks.
What about Donnie Brasco? Is he nominated for Donnie Brasco?
No, bro. He's not nominated for Scarface either. Scarface is known as a terrible performance by him from a lot of people and borderline offensive. I liked it a lot, but I think it was kind of critically panned, you know?
Okay.
Was he
Bull? Was that De Niro?
Nah, that's De Niro, and he won for that.
And Taxi Driver was De Niro too, right?
Taxi Driver is also De Niro. Scarface, 1983 film. Let's see. Did it win any awards?
Did he win one for, what was it, with the devil and the lawyer?
Negative critical response. Yeah, people hated this Star Wars. It's an interesting thing.
Star Wars or Scarface?
No, Scarface.
All right, well, who the, what are the other ones they got?
Gino was nominated for Golden Globe. He was nominated for a Golden Globe, but he didn't win. He was nominated for a Golden Raspberry Award. The worst cinematic movie is Brian De Palma was nominated for a Razzie for Scarface. Fun fact about Scarface, it's actually like known as bad. It was very critically, and then over time, people kind of like got into it, you know?
Yeah. What else did he win for? What was nominated?
Oliver Stone, pictured in 1987, wrote the script for Scarface while struggling with his own addiction to cocaine.
Usually where you get your best material from.
Scent of a Woman, he won for. He was nominated Best Actor for a movie called Injustice for All, which I've never seen.
Hmm.
His movie Dog Day Afternoon, which I don't think I ever saw that either, actually.
Sounds familiar.
He's nominated for Godfather Part Two.
Hmm.
But that time he was the lead. But he didn't win. Who beat him? Who beat him?
Yeah, because he killed Serpico. Godfather. Oh yeah, Serpico. Ooh, that's
I bet. I mean, it's possible De Niro beat him. Let's say. I mean, now we're just down a whole dip. All right, here we go. Best actor. Okay, best picture, 1975, 47th Annual Awards. The best movie was The Godfather 2. Best director was Francis Ford Coppola for Godfather 2.
Best actor.
Nicholson was nominated for Chinatown, and he did not win. Al Pacino was nominated as Michael Corleone, did not win. Art Carney won for Harry and Tonto. All right. Sometimes they get it wrong. But then best Harry supporting actor went to Robert De Niro for Vito Corleone.
Love that.
In the flashbacks. Now let's look at, do we get it? All right. So how many Oscars do you believe Robert De Niro has?
Oof.
We definitely lost some listeners here.
No, I honestly think they're probably playing along and they're loving it.
This is pretty fun. I'm having fun.
Yeah. I'm going to say, man, I could probably start.
How many Oscars do you think De Niro has? Just the question. How many? Yes.
I'm going to say best actor, he's won three times.
Two times.
Okay. So then it was Raging Bull was one, right?
Yes, Raging Bull.
And was Taxi Driver the other one?
Nope, nominated for Taxi Driver. Did not win.
Okay.
But I did just tell you this.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah, Godfather.
Godfather Part 2.
But he won for Best Supporting Actor in that, right?
Best Supporting. He's got one of each.
Oh, one of each. Wow, really? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Damn.
Nominations, though, he has... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 nominations.
Wow.
And he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Best Actor. And only 2 for Best Supporting Actor. So, all right. So, if you care about this, Pacino has 2 more Supporting Actor nominations. Mm. And 1 less Best Actor nomination.
Hmm.
And they both have 1 and 1?
Was De Niro nominated for Goodfellas?
No, I think Pacino never won. No, Pacino only has 1 Oscar, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And he won it for Scent of a Woman?
Scent of a Woman, which you've never experienced in a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, De Niro only has, Pacino only has 1 Oscar from 1992.
Can you name the ones that he was nominated for, the best actors?
I already did. Justice for All, Dog Day. Oh,
no, you're talking
De Niro. About De Niro. Cape Fear, Awakenings, Raging Bull with a win, Deer Hunter, Taxi Driver. And then supporting? For his best supporting was Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, great movie.
Yeah. He plays the dad.
That movie fucking ruled.
Weird. He's nominated for Best Picture for The Irishman. What is he? Wow. All right.
He probably directed it.
All right, now, I mean, before we get out of here, we need to look up Joe Pesci, right?
Yeah. I was going to say Joe Pesci.
We can't not look up Joe Pesci here.
Yeah, got to get Pesci.
Does he even have an Oscar?
He's had to have been nominated. He's
won. Yes, he does. Goodfellas. He won the best supporting in 91 for Goodfellas, I think.
Yeah, had to.
No, no, right? No. Goodfellas came out in 1980. I don't think so. Goodfellas got, actually, fun fact about Goodfellas. Goodfellas is snubbed for best picture. It lost to Dances with Wolves, I believe. Okay. No, here. In 91, why was it saying 1980? I'm wrong. Raging Bull's 81. Yeah, 91, he won best supporting actor for Goodfellas. So he has won. Oh, he's nominated three times only for supporting. And
he won one.
Raging Bull, Goodfellas, and Irishman. And he won for Goodfellas. And Goodfellas lost Best Picture to Dances with Wolves. That I remember. And I'm definitely right about that. Let me look it up, though. Yeah, but Goodfellas did win. Only Oscar that Goodfellas won, I think, was Pesci. It didn't win anything else. Yeah.
Damn.
Pesci only won. Scorsese didn't win. Interesting. Well, let's look at guys. This is so. Here we go. 1981. Goodfellas. Here, 1991. Sorry, I keep going to 81 for some reason. 91. Yes. No. Yes. Dances with Wolves. Kevin Costner wins the Oscar over Scorsese.
Wow.
What do you think is best picture in 1991?
Oh, if Costner won, was it? Oh, Costner won for
the year
Dances
after,
with Wolves?
The 64th. That was 1990, technically.
Was it Waterworld?
No. Silence of the Lambs wins best picture in 1991.
Hmm.
92, Unforgiven. 93, Schindler's List. 94, Forrest Gump, beating Pulp Fiction, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Quiz Show, and Shawshank Redemption.
Chicago.
1996, The English Patient beats out Fargo, Jerry Maguire, Secrets of Lies and Shine. 1997, what do you think the best picture of 1997? You know this.
I have no idea. Ken Hurley. Titanic.
Titanic winning best picture in 1997.
That was like the Nokia ringtone for Titanic.
Has any wrestler been nominated for an Oscar? Only the movie The Wrestler, obviously.
Yeah.
Has a wrestler won an Oscar? Professional wrestler turned thespian Mike the Miz, best known for playing titular roles. What is this? It's finally earned recognition from the Academy. With best Oscar win? Wait, what the fuck are we talking? This is clearly... Oh, this is kayfabe news.
Oh, my God. He got caught in the sheets. They ended up getting him.
Oh, my God.
All those facts that you just gave us about all those Oscar things are probably wrong. You're probably in kayfabe news for that, too.
That was all fake, everybody. That was all fake. That was all made up. All right, let's get out of here, bro. We're pumped for double or nothing. It's going to be a good time. What time are we... When are we going to record? I can't watch Double or Nothing on Sunday because I got a wedding. So I'm going to have to watch it when I get home from the wedding. I can't watch it live.
Okay. So then let's just record a normal episode on Monday. How about that?
Memorial Day. Monday. So we'll put it out sometime Memorial Day.
Oh.
Oh, are you doing? Yeah. Are you?
I don't know.
Party?
That should be. It should be fine. Monday night.
All right. Let's do it. Hey, everybody, good times. Wow. This is the Comedians of Goodfellas. Everybody.
it's the Comedians of Joe Pesci.
Yeah, patreon.com/comedianswrestling for more Oscars facts that you cannot Wikipedia yourself. Hey, everybody. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Yeah, eat my ass.